reigns. And we need to do it.
Amen.
Because he's ordained it.
Amen.
And there's some teachings in the scripture that we've read before, but we haven't really focused on. And by focusing on God's word, we see how we, yes, we are now living in the days of Noah. And to get a full understanding of the days of Noah, not from a movie that has just been recently put out that I haven't seen yet, and the Lord hasn't really given me the open door, I hear it's garbage. And it portrays God as a merciless, unloving God that just wants to destroy all humanity. And other things are brought out in that film that others have seen it and told me about it. And so I get things secondhand, and we have to be very, very careful what we hear secondhand. So that's why we got to be in God's word in all places. Father, I now ask, O God, that your spirit would now descend upon this humble vessel that stands before your people. I am nothing without you, Yeshua. And the words that I speak today, every word shall be judged by everyone that is here in this congregation, and everyone later who will be hearing it on the podcast. And I thank you, O God, that we are in a house here where God and Yeshua and the Ruach are exalted. Not man, not man's traditions, but God himself alone and the three persons. And I thank you, Father, that your word is going to go forth and it's going to do your will. And I thank you, O Father, that I have a rabbi here that listens to what I say. And he can come up to me and call me into account at any time. I rejoice in that because I know that I have a brother that loves me and is willing to correct me when I walk in error. And I have brothers and sisters here that will do the same. I thank you, Father, for Brother Allen that edits these podcasts, who knows the scripture, who's an elder in this congregation, O God. And he searches the scripture and he sees what needs to be shared and what does not need to be shared. And he calls us on the table and says, this needs to be corrected. Or you need to clarify this. I thank you, Father, that we have a brother, an elder in this congregation. The weight and responsibility is not just on Rabbi, but also Elder David and Elder Kathy and Brother Tim, O God. And I thank you, Father, that there's accountability in the body of Messiah. Because we have freedom in Messiah, knowing that we have brothers and sisters that truly love us. And when there is correction to be done, we can turn and look in our brothers and sisters' eyes and know that this is what's taking place. God's will is being done. Father, I know that very soon we're going to be entering into the days of Ananias and Sapphira. They were judged for not saying everything. They held back. And I pray, O God, that we as a people would live one towards another, lifting up one another, esteeming one another, and loving one another as we should.
Yes, God.
Seeing Yeshua being formed in them and recognizing that we are weak vessels just like they are. We are all made out of clay. And we ask, O God, that your spirit would be in and through us and that Yeshua would be magnified in everything we say and do. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. This is Shamesh number 11. And if you'd like to turn with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Beginning at verse 16. Those of you that have the Messianic Jewish Bible, you'd be turning to page 1488. But you know what? There's a lot of beauty in all these other translations too. And let us begin. in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is valuable for the teaching, the truth, convicting of sin and correcting faults, and training in right living. And what is right living? It is righteousness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he believed in what God wanted him to do. Every day. And it was esteemed to him as him being righteous. He was willing to go and follow after what God wanted him to do. Let us continue. Thus, anyone who belongs to God may be fully equipped for every good work. We have all been called to good works in Messiah. He has established that in our hearts and minds. As a believer, as a young believer, even as an older believer, I've found there have been times when I've walked in my own strength, my own ability, and the Lord's rebuked me. Because what was being manifested, my flesh, my ego, can anyone agree with that and testify? That's just part of me maturing as believers. And who is writing this word to Timothy? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, his father in the faith. And he's giving these words to him because he knows that in the near future, Rav Shaul will not be on the earth any longer in bodily form. And he's raising up the next generation. There are Timothys in this congregation. Well, who are you talking about, Frank? I'll give you one. Shane Rothman. He's a young Timothy. He's come back to the Lord. He's walking in God's power. You know what he's going to do along the way? He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make some missteps. But you know what? We as a congregation are going to love him right through it. And many of you here know of other individuals here who are also Timothys, both male and female. God wants to raise up the next generation. Yeah. These young people that were standing before us here just a few moments ago, those are our Timothys. If you look around this congregation right now, and we're not ashamed, we see older members. That's good. God established his work. But it comes a time in the future when we'll be passing the baton unto those Timothys. And we're to rejoice in it. I encourage everyone here to be praying for our children's and our teen ministry, for it to grow and develop as never before. Because I'll tell you something, once the Ruach starts demonstrating himself in such a way so great in this congregation as never before, and our Jewish brothers who do not know, they know the law, they know the Torah, they know the traditions, they read the scripture and they say, oh God, where are you? You're with my father Abraham. You had an intimate relationship with him. What about me? And when they see the Ruach being manifested in this congregation as never before through in each everyone's lives, everyone that is different here from every background, when they see the Ruach being manifested and the love of Yeshua being lifted up in every portion of our daily life, that's what's going to draw them in. Not some program, not some kind of scheme, nothing is going to bring them. For Yeshua declared in his word, if I be lifted up, not Messianic Judaism, not Christianity, but if I, Yeshua, be lifted up, then I will draw all people unto me. Let's continue. I solemnly charge you before God and Messiah Yeshua, who will judge the living and the dead when he appears and establishes his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Be on hand whether it is time seem right or not. Convict, censor, and exhort with unfailing patience and teaching. I love some other translations. It says with tender mercies. Love them. Love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. Kepha said to Yeshua, how many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. For one sin. And if we're not doing that, the love of Yeshua does not abide in us. If we call judgment upon our brothers and sisters in Messiah, the heart and love of God is not in us. Remember the sons of thunder? Remember them? We're not to be like them. God transformed them, although they were sons of thunder. Let's continue. Censor and exhort with unfailing patience and with teaching. For a time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ears itch to hear. Oh, brother, bless me. Bless me, brother. Make me prosper in my flesh. Don't ask my soul to grow. Don't ask my spirit to come alive in Yeshua. But just bless me with the things of this world. How many men and women are standing behind these pulpits and trying to build these kingdoms on this earth? And having their congregation and feeding their lambs about the things in pursuit of the things of this earth. And Peter declares this in Kepha, all these things shall be consumed by fire. It is our relationship with the Lord that is most pristine. Even over your spouse relationship. Because there are times when you and your spouse will not be in agreement. Who are you to turn to? Another male or female? God forbid. You're to go towards Yeshua. And then He will make that marriage last. He will sanctify it. He will make it holy. And He'll call us block-headed men like myself. And He'll whittle away till we acknowledge His presence. Any guys testify with that? I do. There are times where I'm just so focused and I'm just going this direction. And the Lord has to just break me and knock me down and get my attention. He loves me. That's part of my Father's discipline. Other people, He just has to give a gentle spoken word, but not frank always. That's who I am. He's created me that way. Because He knows that once I'm walking on His path, I'm going to keep going. And all the things that Satan is saying here, and this person wants me to do here, I'm going to be focused. No, this is the path that He's called me to. And I'm going to walk therein. Let's continue. Yes, they will stop listening to the truth, but will turn aside to follow myths. Look at all the movies coming out right now. Zombies. The Walking Dead. Vampires. The occult. See, in all people of the earth, there's a spiritual desire. God created that vacuum in them. They're searching. But what do they need to see? They need to see you and I walking in the power of the Ruach as never before, having an intimate, tender relationship with Yeshua. That when the trials come, we stand. My boss walked up to me tomorrow and said, you know what, Frank? We don't need you here anymore. You know what I'd say? Praise God. God's closed the door, now He's going to open up another. That's what our attitude should be. Everything we receive comes from God. And if it's something that I'm not receiving, from the Lord, I don't need it. So that we can walk in that freedom. Verse 5. But you remain steadily in every situation, enduring suffering. Do the work of proclaiming of the good news. I know in some of your translations it says evangelists. You know when I read that for the very first time? I know the Lord called me to be a teacher and a preacher. But Lord, I'm not an evangelist. This translation includes me. Everyone who proclaims, no matter where you are in Yeshua, no matter how old you are in Yeshua, if you're 110 years old and your body is weak, you're called to the kingdom as a prayer warrior. And you're proclaiming the good news by your life. God causes those people around you in the care facility are those that you share the good news with. And that you're letting your light shine before men that they may see your glorious works of God the Father and glorify His name and His name only. But you remain steadily in every situation, enduring suffering. Do the work of the proclaimer of the good news, should. And do everything in your service to God requires. Paul goes on to say, For me, I'm already being poured out on the altar. What did our elder brother say in this verse right here? He's being poured out. He's our example. Yes, he's dead. His bones rest in the grave, but he's hoping one day of the resurrection. His soul immediately, as he did pass his last breath from his body, he was ushered into the immediate presence of Yeshua and God the Father. But he says right here, I'm pouring out myself on the altar. I'm bringing here a sacrifice. Not a bull, not a lamb, but it is me. As we've heard Rabbi declare many, many times, God wants to kill us. But he's not going to kill us. He asks us, just as Yeshua said, no man takes my life. I lay it down for the glory of God my Father. And if he wasn't willing to do that, none of us would be here right now. None of us. So what is the Father asking us to do? Just as Rav Shaul said here, come and lay your life, your hopes, your dreams, your plans, your future, lay it all down upon the altar of sacrifice. That's what God is calling us to do. And if you're not doing that and allowing God to do that, then you're walking in rebellion. Yeshua declared, if you will lose your life, you shall gain what? His life. Let's stop for a second. Think to the point of the time when you first received Yeshua. Think about how your life was, where you were, what you were experiencing, what lifestyle that you were living. Now let's fast forward today. Would you trade your life now that you're living for your prior life? I would not. And my future life in Messiah is even brighter. As I learn to die and let loose all those things that I hold as precious. Corrie Ten Boom, you ever read the book Tramp for the Lord?
Yeah.
She said, these things I would grasp. And I'm not going to grab these and wreck them. This is acceptable. I would grasp these things in my hand, and Alan told me not to walk too far from there, so I'm going to obey Brother Alan. Got to obey your elders. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. She would grasp these things tightly and say, God, these things are mine. You can't have them. But as she grew and matured in the Lord, she learned to hold everything in her life this way. To release all these things to God. That he may plan and perfect everything. All her possessions. To give it all to Yeshua. Now let's turn to Matthew. I'll be careful here so I don't drop everything. Chapter 24. The Lord gave me this portion this morning. I had to write it in my notes. And I know that Rabbi could testify this. There have been times when I've prepared a whole message and the Lord has had me go a whole different direction. I know there will be times when God just gives me one Bible verse and he'll just have me go and go and go and go. Because he's the one that fills our mouths. We're in Matthew, that is Matthew chapter 24. And we're beginning at verse 1. We're going to hear from Yeshua today. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. As Yeshua left the temple and was going away, his Talmudim, his disciples came. And he called his attention to the buildings. But he answered them, "You see all these? Yes, I tell you. They will be totally destroyed. Not a single stone will be left standing." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the Talmudim, his disciples, came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will these things happen? When will this sign that you are coming? That the Olam Hazeh, this world, this age is ending." Yeshua replied, "Watch out. Don't let anyone fool you. For many will come in my name saying that I am the Messiah. And they will lead many astray. You will hear noise of war nearby and the news of wars far off. See to that no one will be frightened. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. For the peoples will fight each other. Nations will fight each other. There will be famines and earthquakes in various parts of the world. All this is but a beginning of the birth pains." This is just the beginning. This isn't the end yet. But you know what God has to do? For block-headed people like me, he's got to get our attention. And he's got to shake their world. Have you ever had your world rocked by God?
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I'm Adonai. You're not, Frank. I'm Adonai. I sit on the throne in your life. And if not, here's HaSatan. Go serve him." I've had the Lord speak that in my life. That rebuke was clear. The Lord knows how to get my attention. He says, "Whom do you serve? Can you claim like Yehoshua, Joshua? As for me and my house, we shall what? Serve the Lord and him only." Let's continue. "At that time you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death." Wait a second. That's not the feel-good gospel I'm hearing on television today. Brother Joel, what do you say on this? Brother, if you're going to fill up a congregation, don't preach that. You're going to drive all these disciples away. But what did Yeshua do time and time again? There were thousands following after him. And what would he do? He would go and he would say something that would rock their world. And you know what? They fled. Remember the time when he was entering Jerusalem? Before Pesach? Crying out, Behold the Son of David. They were cutting down palm branches and bowing before him and worshiping a man. They believed that he was the promised Messiah, the heir of David, the one that was going to rectify everything. But what happened a few days after that? As he is walking down that area that we now call the Via Dolorosa, they were jeering and laughing at him. They were going up to him and they were grabbing him by the beard and ripping out his beard. Not all the people, but some of them turned. Let's continue. At that time, and I'll just reread this, at that time you will be arrested and handed over to be punished and put to death, just as he was put to death. God calls us to die.
Yes, he does.
To die of our old nature. Because I'll tell you this, I would not be able to die a literal physical death for Yeshua, unless I become dead first to myself. What did Yeshua say in the Mount of Olives? Father, if there be any other way. That was his humanity crying out. How many times you and I have said, when the Lord said, you need to die to this. And we've declared, Father, is there any other way? And the Father is silent. Why? Because he's laid it out before us to die, that we may live in him, that we may allow his life to be lived out in us. You know what's amazing? In the body of Messiah, we have superstars. That shouldn't be the case. Some people get so enamored with so-and-so. And when that person passes from the scene, it's like our life has ended. Why? Because we've been vicariously living in and through them. Yeshua has called each and every one of us as his Talmudim, as his disciples. Later at another time, as I speak about Noah, because this is just the introduction, here was a man that was willing to lay everything aside. Can you imagine the day that when he turned to his wife and said, dear, Miss Noah, Mrs. Noah, God wants to build me an ark. He wants me to build it for him. And she turns to him and says this, why do you need an ark? Well, us guys, we need to have what? The biggest stuff, don't we? The best car, the best, you fill in the blank. Maybe us preachers, we've got to have the biggest Bible. But that's the way guys are. And then he says to her, by the way, it's going to rain. And she looks him into the eye and says this, honey, what is rain? It had never rained before. For what does Bereshit say? That there was a dew that came up from the ground. Talk about walking by faith. See, we've all read that before, but we did not see, nor did we understand. I have to confess to you, I did not see it the very first time, the second, third, maybe 50th time. I did not see it. I read it, but I did not understand it. Now think of his poor wife looking him straight in the eye and thinking now, Noah, no one's spoken this word because no one's speaking Hebrew up to this point in the scripture that we know of. But you are, and I know this is more Yiddish, Meshuggah. Why? Because there's never been rain. And why do you want to build such a big boat? Let's continue this portion here. And many false prophets will appear and fool many people. And many people will love, their love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. Wait a second. Yeshua never said that. According to Matyahu, he did. Torah. He said, I come to fulfill the Torah, but not to abolish it. A brother in Messiah said, well, Frank, how can I be Torah observant? I said, don't worry about being Torah observant. You can be Torah obedient. And he looked at me, he said, I could see in his eyes was coming sacrifices. But before he was able to say anything, I said, you can be Torah obedient through and only through Yeshua HaMashiach. And some of you, that's going right now, right over your head. You don't understand what I'm talking about. What I'm saying this, that those brothers and sisters in the Messianic movement that have become legalistic in their Torah observant have set aside Yeshua and thinking of their own self-works. Wait a second. Haven't we been there before? Why would you want to go back to the old works that our fathers of old could never do and accomplish? They failed time and time again. Otherwise, if they were successful, even a minion of them, 10, then Yeshua would never had to come and die. We can be Torah obedient in and through Yeshua and Him only. Because He has fulfilled Torah. And as we learn to lay down our lives for Yeshua, for His name, for His glory, then we can become Torah obedient. And it's only through dying. It's not through works. Let's continue. As I said here, as many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. Yeshua did not live according to Matthew through Revelation. Why? It was not written yet. So what was he fulfilling? What did the Father call him to fulfill? The Torah. Let's continue. But whoever holds out to the end will be delivered, and the good news about the kingdom will be announced throughout the whole world as witnesses to all the nations. Some translations say goyim. It is then that the end will come. So that when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken about through the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand the illusion, the lie. That will be the time for those in Yehuda, Judah to escape to the hills. If someone is on the roof, he must not go down to gather his belongings from his house. If someone is in the field, he must not turn back to get his coat. What a terrible time it will be for a pregnant woman and nursing mothers. Pray that you will not have to escape in winter or on Shabbat. Are there believers living at that time? Yes. There are God-fearers living at a time. People who are in the process of dying and laying their lives down for Yeshua. For there will be a trouble then worse than has ever been. Ever been. Who's saying this? Yeshua is declaring this. From the beginning of the world until now. And there will be nothing like it ever again. You think you've had troubles? You think you've had seen tribulation? Yeshua declared, it shall be as the days of Noah, but even worse. Indeed, if its length of this time had not been limited, no one would survive. But for the sake of those who have been chosen, its length will be limited. And at that time, if someone says to you, look here, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe him. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles and amazing things. Some of us believers are into signs and wonders. If those signs and wonders do not lead you to Yeshua and glorify Abba our Father and empower and equip you to walk in the Ruach HaKodesh, have nothing to do with it. Do not testify of them, because they're not part of God's kingdom. So, as to fool even the chosen, who said that? Yeshua. If possible. We're entering days, my brothers and sisters, in Messiah that we have to cleave onto Yeshua as never before. Take every word that is preached to you and see if it lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Trust no one.
That's right.
But take everything into account. Because then, you know what you have? You have mature brothers and sisters in Messiah. And when Rabbi calls me into account, I know this. He's going to lovingly rebuke me and restore me to right relationship with Abba Father, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh with him and the whole body of Messiah. There I've told you in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he is in the desert, the Messiah, don't go. Look, he is hidden away in a secret room. What are the Muslim people looking for right now? The Mahdi to come. The false Messiah. And when he comes, they're going to embrace him. For when the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east. Wait a second, Frank. Doesn't everything great come from Hollywood? No. Well, everything that happens in California goes to the other side and it's all cool, right? No. Comes from the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. Starts in the east. Where was the gospel proclaimed first? In the east. And it's proclaimed where? Through the whole western hemisphere. Circular. Goes around. And when it's proclaimed fully in the lives of the people, being manifesting the power of God as never before, then he's going to come back. Until that day, he's not going to return. Until the word of God goes out to every tribe, every tongue. We're getting close, but we're not there yet, my brothers and sisters. We've got awesome work to do. Wherever there is a dead body, that's where you will find vultures. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark. We're going to have an eclipse coming this summer. We're in the midst of the four blood moons. The moon will stop shining. We've seen one eclipse. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Everything that is, shall be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with a tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels with the great shofar. We've heard some shofars blown today, have we not?
Yes.
But this will be the great shofar. I can't imagine how big that is. Can you imagine that angel? What size of angel is going to walk up and grab a hold of that shofar and put it to his lips and blow? And they will gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from every direction. If there are Jewish believers orbiting the earth at that time, he's going to draw them back. From one end of heaven to the other. Oh boy, Frank, I thought you were really stepping out there, but I guess, yeah, it does say here, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, let the fig tree teach you this lesson. When its branches begin to sprout and the leaves appear, you will know that summer is approaching. And in the same way, when you see all these things, you are to know that the time is near. Right at the door, yes, I tell you that this people will certainly not pass away before all things begin to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Yeshua speaking, shall never pass away.
Hallelujah.
You're trusting in the stock market, it's going to fail. You're trusting in your silver and gold, it's going to perish. They'll break in, they'll kill you, and they'll rob you. If you're putting all your trust in these things, it shall fail you. The American dollar shall fail. We see it failing right now. So what are you going to invest in? Yeshua. And how do you place your investment? By dying. Laying down your lives. Let's continue. I have four more verses and we'll be done. But when that day and hour will come, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven. Do you hear that? Angels cannot read our minds. Satan can't read your mind. He can impress thoughts upon you because he knows our sinful nature. He's been studying our family for thousands of years. But he has no authority over us. Not the angels in heaven, not the Son. Yeshua doesn't know. Yeah, but Frank, the Ruach gave this one brother 88 reasons why Yeshua is going to come back in 1988. You know what? How many people went out there and bought it? Don't raise your hands. Let's continue. Only the Father, Abba. Just as Rabbi Ed said this, we're being called to a wedding feast.
Amen.
And you know what? We're not part of the wedding party. We are the wedding party. We are the brides of Messiah. There's not my first wife or my second wife. We are called the bride as a whole in Messiah. And I'll tell you what, that's beyond my comprehension. Because I'm still an immature believer. But God's going to give me revelation probably when that actually happens. But you know, until that day comes, I'm not going to be focused on that and searching the scriptures so I can stand up here and prove a point. But I'm going to be about the Father's business in building his kingdom and inspiring my brothers and sisters in Messiah to do the same. Let's continue. Only the Father knows. For the Son of Man is coming, will be just as it was in the days as Noah. But back then, before the flood, people were eating and drinking, taking wives and becoming wives. That's part of our future. We're the bride of Messiah. We'll all be the bride of Messiah. Right up to the very day Noah entered the ark. And they didn't know what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. It will be just like that when the Son of Man comes. There will be two men in a field. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding in the flour mill. One will be taken, the other left. So stay alert. Are you alert? Are you falling asleep? Because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But you do know this. Had the owner of the house known when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you too must always be ready.
Amen.
When? Does that mean I get to go on vacation from God?
No.
When I go on vacation from Yeshua, is that allowed?
No.
What I read, Yeshua is in me, and he's reading what I'm reading. He's seeing what I see. He sees my thoughts. Am I allowing the filter of the Ruach to filter all these things that would be pleasing in my future husband's bride, which I am? Be ready, for the Son of Man will come when you are not expecting him. I ask Rabbi right now to come forward and close our service. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.